This morning, please turn with me to the book of Song of Songs. Some people call it the Song of Songs. I'm going to read portions from this book in reference to the word lily. The Lily of the Valley. Chapter 2 and verse 1 reads, I am the rose of heaven and the lily. Not the way I've always pronounced it, the lily of the valley. It's the lily of the valley. We go through many things. We go through many temptations and hurts. There's not only one to do. And chapter 2 and verse 2, as the lily among thorns, so is my love among the thorns. As the Lord among the thorns. Chapter 6 and verse 2. My beloved is gone down to his garden to beg the spices, to feed in the gardens, and to gather lilies. If you return back to the book of Hosea, the prophet Hosea, chapter 14, verse 51, that I will be as the dew unto Israel, he shall grow as the lily, and shall cast forth his roots as Lebanon. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 28, I want to take you back for a moment. Consider the lilies of the field. How they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. Verse 29. And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed. Would you lift your hands and pray for your people this morning? Ask God to help me. Father, I do need your help. I do need you to talk to this people. They may hear my voice, but more than hear my audible voice, let them hear the word of God. Let them draw strength. Let them, in every way, be different when they leave than what they were when they came. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. In some of the previous messages I've preached, light of the world, these very things we said this, that God often uses things that we can relate to draw some kind of a perception of what he's trying to communicate to us. There is nothing to compare with him. This is only for our limited knowledge and experiences and understanding. I think I was thinking about this before, that every preacher should desire, and I do, to be an able minister of the Word of God. I believe to be an able minister of the Word of God, you need to be able to preach all of the Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Sometimes we laugh, sometimes we're blessed, sometimes we're convicted. But it's all the word of God to us. We're warned, and it is the warning in the word of God, that there will be people that will heap to themselves teaching, having itchy ears, so prophesying and doing smooth things. And I hope to be able to show you today it's not always easy, but he likens it. Jesus compares himself to the lily of the valley. He compares himself to the rose of heaven as the bright in the morning star. There has to be a reason for that. I believe that what we have here is that Jesus has brought himself in a state of condensation so that we can understand something about it. I hope to show you this morning and again tonight. Now, he shows us where the Lord grows. I'll get to it in a little bit. One place it grows among the thorns. One place it grows is in the garden. You have to understand the language of the Bible to know what a valley is. We always, our people, we like the mountaintop experiences. And we might talk about the mountaintop experience, but there's a lot said about the presence of Christ when you're in those little places. He that is the summit of the highest. He who is the bright in the morning star. He who is the rose of sorrow in the ring of the valley. He does that to express his presence with his people in this world. He is the Son of God. He is deity. He and the Father all in one. But he wants to make the comparison. And in this comparison, he's saying, wherever you are, I am. Whatever you're going through, I'm going through. It doesn't get any better than that. But he has to make these comparisons. There is something else about this as we get started here this morning. I believe that God, if we can comprehend his presence among us, we would naturally realize that he is expressing his accessibility to us. God has not taken a journey. His arm is not shortened. He's right here. It's wondering, as we pray for Andrea and Sister Register this morning, that God is here. God is accessible. I believe that every bit of this is trying to point all of that out. If you belong to God, wherever that rose is carrying, wherever that little of the body is, there's a good fragrance. There's a good smell. Can you imagine anything that would take the place of Christ? I'm touching on a few things that I will elaborate on a little bit more. But I believe that when you see the lily of the valley, in all of its beauty, all of its splendor, all of its fragrance, all of its purity, I believe it's securely within us a desire to be like him. Now, I did not liken to a lily of the valley. He did. There is something about that lily that he wants me to see. He wants me to observe. Let me ask you something. How are you changed into his image? By beholding him? 1 Corinthians 5. As we behold him, we are changed into his image. This isn't just a lesson on Jesus Christ. It is saying to you and I, he wants us to see this. He wants us to be like him. So, in looking at this flower, our Savior lets us know that lily doesn't spin, it doesn't close itself. With what God closed his with, you cannot close yourself with. What God puts on us, you cannot put on yourself. You don't have it. I believe that when he said, consider Solomon, with all of his glory, he's the king, with all of his pomp, with all of his everything, he said, I tell you that Solomon, with all of his splendor, all of his raiment, with all of the cost, I want to tell you, he is nothing like the lily of the field. I believe Jesus was saying, I'd rather have you as the lily of the field than the heaviest one. He's left us examples. as to how he sees. Not having studied the letter before, had to take a little time to look at some things. Now, if you read something else, maybe something I'm just going by what I have. But the letter is the widest circle known to me. I don't know there's no hope for us. But they said that that lily is wider than any other. Now wash me, and I shall be white as snow. There is this symbolism. The reason Jesus likened himself to a lily and put it in his water, he could have put anything in there, but he put it back to lily. The lily is the widest. But it is also one has one of the strongest perfumes. Am I getting any word with you? What do we think of when we think of balance? Our lifeblood. We're not thinking of mountainous experiences and being elevated. We're thinking of low places. And in our experiences, when we think of low places, we're thinking maybe sadness, maybe heaviness. Jesus also suffered humiliation. He humbled himself. That word, humble, humiliation. There are times in our lives, if you're going to live for Christ, you're going to be humiliated by those storms I'm getting in the middle. You're going to have to overcome a lot of things. There's nothing harder for us to deal with than humiliation. When you consider this in the context of Jesus and the life of Christ, you have to also take into consideration not only being humbled, but being injured. He who knew no sin became sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God in him. Sometimes we feel like we've been injured. I've been injured. I'm sorry to say I've injured people. I would to God I could go back and redo that. Jesus said, I gave my hand to the spiders. When they came in that garden, Peter tried to defend him, cut a soldier's ear off. Jesus put it back on him. I've said a thousand times, I've been one of those soldiers. And I saw a man get his ear cut off, and Jesus put that ear back, and he's well. I can tell you, I wouldn't be a soldier in that one. I'd be a soldier in his arm. If you're going to live for God, the reason, as I said, that God wants us to see these things is because he wants us to be like him. And he is trying to use something visible to us that we understand to learn something about it so that we may know and so we expect to know. When Jesus was talked about, he opened up his mouth. He didn't say anything. I thought the Christ, one time he said, now say, are you the Son of God? He's ever declared, I come from God. There may be a lot of people trying to challenge you on your relationship with God. Oh, you call yourself a Christian. You say that you love God and that God loves you. I tell you what, if I'm white as snow, if I'm as white as a lily, that speaks of his righteousness, his holiness, his forgiveness of sins. The whole world can come out and say, I remember what you used to do. I remember what you used to be. Hold up that lily. Maybe I used to be, but I'm not that anymore. I am a new creation. I am a new creature. Wherein I was dark, wherein I was sinful, wherein I was wrong, I've been forgiven, I've been pardoned, I've been made clean, I'm white, as snow, I am, because that's what he wanted me to be. I don't know why it is, I do too. Let me just say what I need to say. It takes a humble soul to see the beauty in Jesus. I got to call this
Patrick. I don't know if you can compliment him. Asked me if I had heard something from a preacher, and that preacher had said something about he was interested. I don't remember exactly how it was, but he was seeming to be appealing to the company. If you go read his books and you go on that, that's what you're doing. I want to remind you what the Holy Book says. Because if you consider that gain is godliness, you better run. If you run into somebody and all they can talk to you about is their money, how much of it they got, and how they're going to spend it, what they're going to do with it, run. And I tell you, run. Flee is the word the Bible uses. Flee. Our boastings are not in such trivial matters. Our boastings are in Christ. Our glory in the Christ. You come into this world with nothing, you're going out with nothing. Don't boast about that. As a matter of fact, I can show you in the Bible where the Bible says if God gives a man power to get wealth, you did not get that. That if God gives a man power to get wealth, that's an ability, but oh my God, what an accountability. What a burden that puts on a person. But I believe that it is humble souls that can see the real beauty that there is in Jesus Christ. They're arrogant, self-centered, all about themselves. They can't really see Him. That's the reason they don't follow Him. That's the reason they do not totally surrender to Him. They've got an idea, they've got a concept, they've got a religious opinion, but only when you can see it. Can you see the beauty? Can you smell the fragrance in a spiritual sense? It is only then, for those who see Him, they are usually in the valley, and they see Him as they live. You let prosperity come to a people, and they lose the vision. Jesus Christ, I didn't admit that I have hardly shall live in an enemy in the kingdom of heaven. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to get to heaven. I told you about the preacher. Was this convention? He was so effective in touch by the messages and the news. The next day he went down to his bank. This man had a large church. Maybe 700 Didn't come everything. He went to the banker, sat down in the president's office, and he said, I want to wipe out my account. And the thing about that, I want to talk about it. That banker tried to talk him out of it. He said, man, what has happened to you? What people say, I've been in a religious convention. I see what I have, and I see what they don't have. And then I saw Christ. He would kill them all, gave you a bit of the convictions. I'm not saying for you to do that. I'm telling you, God tells us that we're to be faithful and tired of nothing. I'm just telling you what this one man did when he saw Jesus Christ. You see, what God is saying to us is, I want you to see me and nothing beside me. In other words, whatever excellence is in Him, whatever is the highest degree in Him, that's the reason He said in the Song of Solomon. I know you know this, I'm just going to throw it in. But there was a time in the church when they would not permit young people to read the book of Song of Solomon. There is a pretty straightforward description of love between a married man and a married woman. And then when you start getting down into the past and the hands on the head, if that's all you see, you're missing the word of God. You're missing what God is saying. He's saying, I want you to be clean.
I want you to be taken. I want you to be like me. I want you to be like me. I'm not going to leave it to you, but I'm not going to quote it to you. At least the essence of it. In the book of the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, you have the Bible open there. We read what it was before, but read verse 2. You know who is a woman, the church of Jesus Christ? You are a woman. You are a woman. You are a woman. You are a woman. But he is Jesus. When you read that there in that second chapter, second verse, you understand that there are those that are like him. Oh, to be like me. Remember the song? Oh, to be like me. Blessed redeemer, pure as thou art. Make me more like you, Jesus. Make me more like thee. The songwriter and the undoubted have an understanding of this. Give me a heart that's full of love. Make me like you. God not only prepared himself for the way, he prepared believers. The beauty of believers consists in their conformity and their resemblance to Christ. That's where the beauty is. I've said this before, I'll say it again. And I don't apologize for what I'm saying. I believe somehow God created it this way. But I don't think there's anything more beautiful than a beautiful woman. Beauty. There is something about a man being handsome, something about a lady being beautiful. I'm not talking about she's got thickness and teeth, some of the ladies. I'm not talking about that hair color from hairdressers. I'm not talking about wrinkle-free, but there is a beauty in that believing lady that you cannot express the beauty of your personality, the beauty of your person, right? And men can be all intelligent. But it's all in our conformity to the resemblance of Jesus Christ. Beloved, it does not yet appear unto us what we shall be. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. I'm going to prove this further. Do you remember John in the book of Revelation? Where did John say he was at on the Isle of Patmos? He said, I was in the Spirit. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. He wasn't having hallucinations. He was in the Spirit. There came one that stood before him, and John fell down and began to worship. You know what John said? I mean, the angel said, get up. I'm more like you. I'm not him. That individual looked so much like Jesus Christ that John in the Spirit thought he was Jesus Christ. My God. One thing that makes that conformity and that beauty is love. How can you be like Jesus and not love? The greatest of these is love. Somebody tell me what God is. God is love. I read you the text where the ladies go among the couples. The church was nothing to complain with. It experienced everything. There's not a movement. There's not a club. There's not a party. There's not a fellowship. There's nothing like the Lord Jesus Christ. But he does in the times have to grow up among the couples. Right? I look at the world. I see that it's worthless. I see that it's useless. I see that it's good for nothing. It's noxious. It's hurtful. It's full of sin. It chokes out good things. It sounds just like everything. It's decent. But the church grows among them. The church grows among the bones. The
committed to you in the text. I'm going to close this in a few minutes. If you would come with me, I'd like you to do that, to the book of Ezekiel. No matter where you ask the lady, and I told you to start with Psalm 2, chapter 2, verse 2, you are the Lord. I did read you where you were in the world. So no matter where you go, look at Ezekiel chapter 2 and verse 6. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. Look at them. Though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwell among scorpions, be not afraid of their words, nor dismayed at their look. They be a rebellious that only grows among thorns when you're among the thorns and the problems. You get cut, you get wounded, you have a lot of experiences. That is closer to this one of these letters. In spite of all of that, do you remember what Kyle Sumner used to say? Yes, in the sense. Yes, yes. Yeah, but that's not perfect today. Let's see the Bible. Jesus loves me. I don't have I just wanted to be a preacher of the whole world of God. I wanted to preach to you who said it was good. There's a reason he compares himself to me. Because I have never seen it. You have never heard it. It's not even part of me what he is. In that way, what the ministry of the Lord.